我们今天这个主题啊，今天是传灯日嘛啊。那以前我们都会拿一个灯啊，然后场面很感人啊，还把灯啊，先把华氏的灯点亮了啊，然后再传给你们啊。我们感觉也被传灯了哈、啊。
So today's talk is transmission of the light, because today is the day for light transmission. And in the past, we used to put together the ceremony where people will be holding a candle and lighting each other's candle. And the scene is very touching and moving. And usually people will feel like, oh, I indeed received the light from the masters.
因为心灯基本上是光明的，那没有一个迹象的东西很难体会，所以就是象征，就是我的心灯传给你。那像有些主持，像师父传法给西方众的时候，他们就会拿一个什么袈裟啊，其实那很可能是幔衣，我不知道是不是袈裟啊。像传给 John Kruger 啊，他们都会有一件袈裟，代表我传法给你。所以他们在主持禅期的时候，他们就会穿那一件。有没有看过？就是他们有穿 ，John Kruger 他们有穿，三门可能也有穿，都没有穿。好。
So the light of the mind is originally brilliant and illuminating. But it's really hard to describe it or to get the messages across. So we use a symbolic gesture of passing on the light via the candle. Similarly, when Shifu transmitted his teaching, pass on the lineage to his Western disciples, such as John Crook, he would also give them a robe as a symbol of this transmission. And so during retreats, oftentimes they will put on the robe to demonstrate that they have received the lineage.
传那个是个象征，就是传心法啊。我们叫什么？以心印心啊。那事实上并不是我的心传给你的心，心没办法传的，就是我体验的知见，跟你体验的知见是什么？是完全一样。就像我们去在台湾哈、啊，你去领钱的时候要盖个章哈、啊，然后他就用你的那一个村底的那个章拿来弄一个那个什么透明的那个什么。你们知道啊，就是你去领钱的时候，你的印就盖在一个透明的纸，对不对啊？是不是？那你的那个透明的纸的那个印章，那个印就跟原先那个留底的核对，看有没有一样嘛？如果一样，就给你钱了。那希望是什么？是写的，他们很厉害。其实我每次写的都不太一样，但他们觉得都是 OK 的。
So it's merely a symbolic gesture. What is really being transmitted is the dharma of the mind, where the mind are in exact correspondence, corresponding to each other. Whereas the mind really doesn't have any dharma or any particular thing to be transmitted. This so-called transmitting of the light really means to confirm, see confirmation, to make sure that your understanding, your attainment is exactly identical to that of mine. That's what my transmission of the light is really about. So it's a little bit similar to going to the bank in Taiwan. Over here in the U.S., we use signature cards. We check signatures. But in Taiwan, people use seals. So there will be a seal card stored in the bank. And when you come to withdraw your money, they will check your seal by make an impression on a piece of cellophane and use a cellophane to lift it to match it with a signature card or the seal card. So it's similar process. You're trying to make sure that the two understandings match each other's identically. And I thought it's actually quite interesting here in the U.S., the use of signature card, because actually the way I sign is a little bit different every time, but they seem to deem it sufficient to allow me to do my business.
那现在你们看有没有人什么印心，有没有就眼睛给你瞪一下子，啊，印了。
So these days, sometimes you see the words sealing the mind or corresponding the mind. It's almost as if people take a deep look at each other, the mind has been copied and sealed.
对，你是从这边讲知道那个不是印心的，那个是什么？是一个东西跑进去了。
It's not really a double checking or confirming the mind. It's something actually had entered the mind.
原则上，我们的每个人的心，都是一样的啊、哦。那就像虚空啊、哦，你的心像虚空，我的心像虚空，无形无相，有没有办法说我的什么东西传给你？没办法啊，因为都同样一个虚空啊，没有一个参考点可以去厘清说我的心跟你的心是不一样的。
So.In truth, everyone's mind is similar. They're identical. They're the same. It's just like empty space. Empty space is formless. It doesn't have any particular form or any kind of outlines. So when we talk about transmitting the light, transmitting the teaching, there's really nothing to be transmitted. It's just like the way our mind works is like empty space where it's really hard to delineate this is my part of the space and that's your part of the space. You can't really draw a boundary between the two.
我们现在就是那一颗能知能觉能看能想能录影能放眼那个心，它有像吗？没像的。那但是这颗心在取向的时候就不太一样了，对不对？你们现在取我的声音像，对不对？我们叫听我的话嘛，对。你可以就是在我讲话当中，然后就滑你的手机，有没有？有没有？你滑手机的取的像跟取我的声音像，都是同一个心，但是它产生的什么功能不一样。并不是心有差别，是取向有差别。
So this mind that has ability to know, to be aware, to see, to record, to retain images, to have memory, does this mind has a form? The mind is formless. So that's the intrinsic nature of the mind. But when it's functioning in the process of grasping onto different forms, different phenomena, then it changes. For instance, as you're listening to the talk right now, some of you may actually be checking your cell phone or trying to text. So when you're doing that, the function of the mind is different between listening to the talk versus using your cell phone to check messages. Yet the essence of the mind is still the same. It's the functions that are different.
如果你的心不起相，我的心也不起相，这时候你会发现，我们的心是什么？是同一个心。
But when your mind does not grasp onto any phenomenon, and neither does my mind doesn't grasp onto any phenomenon either, in that case, you will suddenly realize that the two minds are exactly identical.
那如果你的心起你的身体起相了哈，有时候我们叫做迷你的身体，就你的心可以感知身体，对不对？ 或是可以感知这一个画面，我们叫做看嘛，哈、哦。那楞严经叫做明，明就是什么照明的那个明，啊、哦，那其实用明会比较拉到它的原始功能，因为你用看呢，用听，这时候那个明就还要再透过一个眼睛，然后就变成非常的什么千变万化。
So, the mind has the functions to attend to, or the word we should really be using right now is to illuminate all sorts of phenomenon. So your body, your mind may currently, for instance, be illuminating, your physical bodily sensation, or be illuminating the visual image that's on the screen, which we call seeing. And it will be more suitable, actually, and more accurate to use the word illuminate from this point on, because it brings back to the essential, most fundamental function of the mind, is to illuminate phenomena. Whereas if we talk about seeing, feeling, or smelling, if there are too many permutations, too many different variations, and it becomes distracting to our discussion. So the mind can illuminate phenomenon.
那懂得心，就是那一个，就是既有见闻之理的心，那跟他所明的现象，这时候就是我们完全同样品质的啊的心，就会区分它的差别了。
So the mind itself has the ability to illuminate, to have the ability to see and hear and smell, So these functions of the mind, once you realize these are functions of the mind, there are variations in these different functions.
那我们凡夫的心，每个时间点无相，然后可以明，那跟祖师跟佛的差别就是你有对象的明，他是什么？没有对象的明，就是什么？无所明而无所不明。那么我们是有选择的明，结果那个无所不明的，我们自己又自甘什么？去明一个特定的对象，是不是这样子？就这个部分的功能就差别了。
Mind, the mind of ordinary people like us, our mind also has this ability to illuminate all phenomena without boundary. But the difference between our mind, or the way we use our mind, versus the mind of the Buddha and the great patriarchs, is they illuminate without a dualistic subject and object. So they do not dwell on any particular phenomenon. It's not selective. So it's a non-dualistic way of illuminating. Versus for us, we grasp onto a small subset of phenomena and choose to illuminate those particular subset of phenomena, which leads to a very limited function of the mind. So the minds of all sentient beings are essentially the same, but the functions, the way we use it, is different. And we have chosen to use an inferior set of functions instead.
所以那些祖师看到你的心，我看到大家的心都是一样的，但是大家都去操作那种最烂的功能，或是有病毒的功能，所以他们就想办法要把每一个人的心都把它什么这个扫毒哈、哦，但是就是有些人不让毒师扫。
So the patriarchs, they actually see that all sentient beings have the same mind. It's exactly the same. Yet we have chosen to use that choose to use to execute the inferior functions. So what they're trying to do is, it's like seeing that we're operating with a computer with virus, trying to get rid of the virus. The problem is oftentimes sentient beings refuse to get rid of those virus.
有一些人呢，明明他的那个功能是有病毒的，但他跟禅师学法，就是硬是要什么，要禅师证明他的心已经什么，没有毒了。
There are also some people where their mind actually is contaminated or it has virus, but they study under a patriarch and they insist on the patriarch confirming that their mind is pure and undefiled. And they are very insistent.
在这样这个30年的左右的过程当中，也看到一些笑话啊。有一次我们有一个法师，他每一次禅期都非常精进啊，那他的桌子就挂了一个座右铭，那好像是天目，好像中空国师手写的样子，就是说，如果你7天哈、心都什么都不动不变，然后能够持续7天啊，那在这样的状态，如果没有开悟的话，我这个头哈、就斩给你当椅子坐这样子。所以他每一次就在禅期那个7天都非常用功嘛，因为祖师保证嘛，所以他认真的结果有一天终于开悟了。开悟以后，他在台湾啊，师父在美国啊，他很着急，要赶快，请师父给他印证啊。他说你急什么啊？等我回来台湾再讲啊。然后回到台湾以后，师父回到台湾以后，马上就要找师父就是小参啊印证，然后他就好像就跟师父互动的时候就这样，师父说你在干嘛？结果他又蹦蹦就敲那个墙壁，师父你说你在干嘛？就说师父你连这个都不懂哦。这个就是他有毒啊，可是他认为他开悟了，那师父不跟他印证了，他就认为师父什么不懂。
So in my 30-some years of studying under 师父 and becoming monastics, I've actually seen quite a few examples of these such, you can say, funny stories. So there used to be a monastic in the Sangha who studies really diligently, who meditates really diligently, especially during intensive retreats. And I've seen this person carrying a motto with him, a slogan. It's from one of the past patriarchs, and which says something like, if your mind does not waver a bit, it does not change a bit in 7 days' time, if you don't become enlightened in this kind of state, I will chop my head off for you and let you sit on it as a stool. So this person, this monastic used this as a motto, and so he practiced especially diligently, really vigorously during retreat. And once, he became enlightened. And at that time, Shi Fu wasn't in Taiwan. He was here in the U.S. And this person was really anxious to find Shi Fu in order to seek confirmation about his experience. And Shi Fu kept saying to him, "What is the rush? What is the rush? Just wait till I get back to Taiwan." And when finally Shi Fu went back to Taiwan, this person really eagerly requested an interview with Shi Fu for confirmation. And at the interview, what this person did is, upon seeing Shi Fu, made a gesture like this. And Shi Fu said, "What are you doing?" And the person didn't say a word and hit the wall twice, bang, bang. And Shi Fu then said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And this person then turned to Shi Fu and said, "You don't even understand this?" So what is this person was really trying to do is trying to seek confirmation from Shi Fu, whereas his mind is still not really enlightened. It still contains virus, so to speak. Yet, this person is trying to force Shi Fu to give him confirmation. And what happens at the end is this person actually felt that Shi Fu didn't understand what he's doing. So it's the reversed of roles.
所以在其实在祖师的那个语录里面其实也有一些弟子啊、哦、他自己很用功很用功很用功然后再跟那个他那个师父等是印证了师父有时候就不认可那些我看到那些弟子很不以为然的有好几个都是不以为然的呢但他最后他再继续用功有一天这个因缘开悟了他才知道说原来他之前是没有开悟的
So I've also seen similar examples in recordings of patriarchs where sometimes some disciples who work really hard will try to seek confirmation from their masters and the masters will refuse to grant this confirmation and oftentimes there are many cases where the disciple actually become indignant and disagree with the master'sdecision only until this person has studied further and worked continue to cultivate continue to practice and one day when the conditions and cause and conditions are ripe finally became enlightened until then the disciple truly understood that themselves was in error before and the Shifu master's decision were indeed correct
那因为如果我被师父印证开悟了以后你知道吗不一样了呢是不是
Because, you know, once you have been confirmed by the master, you will start to feel that you are somehow better, you're different than other people.
如果你觉得不一样有没有开悟
If you feel that you're...better or different from that point on, then have you indeed become enlightened?
你看，我开悟了呢，你没有呢。
If you start thinking, I have become enlightened and you haven't, is that really the right state of enlightenment?
他说，我可以教你禅，我让你开悟呢，有没有？这句话跑出来了。
Or that person might think, I can teach you methods to help you become enlightened. So what do you think? Is that right?
你有烦恼，我没烦恼呢。
Or you are the one with vexations. I am free of vexations.
其实可以用这一个、啊，我已经解脱了，你还有烦恼，有没有对立
？If you ever think I have become liberated and you are still stuck in vexations, is this dualistic? Is there any oppositions?
但是如果没有对立，那禅师怎么又怎么样度众生？有没有化解
Yet, if there isn't a subject and object, there isn't this dualistic dichotomy, then how do patriarchs try to give their teachings? How do they do that?
我现在的了解是这样子啦，就是开悟的人看到所有人都已经开悟了，不管任何时间点，就每个人都是开悟的。不会说这个是我的心那你的心但是呢每个人在用心的时候当下用心点不太一样而已那你的用心点实际上就是我的用心点这部分很难理解
My current understanding is that when a patriarch became enlightened when someone becomes enlightenedthey actually see all sentient beings as enlightened as well. Except that there are different entry points in the way people use their mind. So the functions of the mind are different. But the minds themselves are all enlightened. But the understanding of someone who is enlightened then would also think thatyour function of the mind is actually identical to my function of the mind. This part may be a little bit more difficult to understand. It's trickier.
那 这一个就是我们在学这个，可能你也不晓得，就是到底我这个是有悟还是没悟啊？那最好是就是说，我觉得师父讲的就是说什么以菩萨身，以什么凡夫身修什么菩萨行最安全。不管你有悟有悟，我也是什么，就凡夫用凡夫的身体来修，然后没悟当然是凡夫身嘛。那这样的话，大概你误入歧途的错误会少一点呢、啊，至少那个傲慢什么东西会少一点。
So as we're studying this, sometimes it becomes it's difficult to tell that whether am I enlightened or not. So regarding that, I feel the safest approach would be to follow Shifu's instruction, whereas you use this body of an ordinary person, our ordinary person's body, yet we practice the deeds of great bodhisattvas. So in that sense, whether you have become enlightened or not, you are still an ordinary person. You're just trying to, you aspire to do the deeds of bodhisattvas. This would be, in my opinion, the safest way, safest approach to practice. It will be a lot less likely that you get derailed, go onto deviant path. And also, at least, it can help you tame your ego, arrogance.
至少你可以，你看啊，你开悟，你的目的是什么？是要让人家知道你开悟了呢，还是说，我若是没有跟开悟者的知见相应，那么我可能就会一直什么，颠倒轮回。我是以那个目的来，其实说，好，那我要看看怎么样。我的心境是属于觉悟者的一个知见，如果用这样的话，问题就少一点了。
So, whether you have become enlightened or not, if your goal is to know that is my understanding similar to that of those great patriarchs who have become enlightened, are the understandings of mine and theirs, do they correspond with each other? If my understandings continue to be deviant, then I will continue this cyclical cycle of confusion and vexations. If this is your goal of knowing whether you're enlightened or not, that kind of goal is less problematic in my view.
我记得我们在美国有一些，就是大概可能是日本禅吧，啊，当然这是美国人去写的哈，啊，那这些写的可能也被老师印证的，印证以后，结果他就这样子教弟子嘛，结果就有一些女弟子哈，啊，也很认真哈，啊，结果他们是什么？用信啊，跟老师交换，就是他可能也很认真，可他们因为不持戒，所以那些老师可能就跟女弟子有什么，有一些性关系。然后接着那些女弟子很用功了哈，他希望老师什么给他印证，他就他用信哈，用信交换，然后要强迫那个什么。强迫老师印证他，那结果这个你自己的知见没有，叫我跟你什么印证呢？那他就把那些事情把它爆开，包括那一个什么，包括Zen脉里边的脉，你们知道Zen脉里边的脉是非常有名的那一个什么铃木俊龙，他在那个书上那个传我弟子叫贝克也是一样。那现在也离开了。
There have been some scandals of Zen practitioners, Japanese Zen practitioners, where they study really diligently under a great master and have reached some sort of attainment. And then they themselves start to teach Zen to other people. And amongst their students, there were some female disciples who also strive really hard to practice. But in this effort of striving, they actually engage in sexual behaviors with their masters in order to advance their progress or to seek confirmation. And that is because the people who was teaching and also the students, they did not uphold the precepts. And so they went on this way, and further down the road, the female disciples, eager to seek confirmation of understanding from their teachers, will actually use sex as a weapon, as a tool to threaten the teacher to give me confirmation. So this was actually was in the news, and so it actually even happened to some of the students of Master Suzuki, the author of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and one of his famous students, Becker, was also part entangled in this scandal as well.
所以你可以看啊，就是你要求的开悟到底你是要显现你跟人家不同，还是真的就是我要弄那一个来看看我都有没有烦恼。其实你用这种方式来，就问题就不会太多。假设你要证明就是我跟人家不同，那真的就是什么，这个变成一种中途的工具啊。So
what is your motive in trying to seek confirmation of your enlightenment of your experience? If your motive is actually to show that you are superior, you're better than other people, then it's extremely problematic. On the other hand, if your motive is to see if my understanding is on the right track, do I still have vexations, you use it to seek further practice, then that itself is less problematic.
好, 这算就是废话。我们现在来讲一下。 就是传法的啊，就是从释迦牟尼佛就禅宗了，从释迦牟尼佛一直传到六祖啊，就三十，又者是三十三代啊，从中国来算算算是第六代啊。So
everything I've said right before this is actually sidetracking from the topic of today. So today we're going to talk about light transmission going down generations from Shakyamuni Buddha all the way down to sixth patriarch Huainan, whom is considered the 33rd generation or the sixth patriarch in according to Chinese Buddhism, Chinese Chan.
讲刚才讲那些比较不会打瞌睡，现在就讲这个可能就会打瞌睡了。
I gave you a bunch of stories and examples before to prevent you from dozing off. Now we are back on topic. I don't know, you might start to feel drowsy again.
我们等一下看看有几个人开始打瞌睡。要你们睡不着觉，就拿这个来看。In
the future, if you suffer from insomnia, maybe you can take this out and read it a little bit. You may help you fall asleep.
好，法本法无法，无法法亦法。 经乎无法，使法瓦合成法。
So this is what the Shakyamuni Buddha said. Fundamentally, Dharma contains no Dharma. When there's no Dharma, there's also Dharma. And today we are transmitting the Dharma of no Dharmas. Have there ever been any Dharma amidst of the myriads of Dharmas?
哦，我们叫。
This is a rough translation, by the way.
这不是文字游戏啊。
This is not a word game, a trick of words.
这个文字里面基本上都会代表他的一个心境，就禅宗的所用的语言。 基本上那个语言一定是代表你心在怎么操作的时候呢，某一种状态，那给它一个名称。
These words, these verses are snapshots of the state of the mind of someone who's enlightened or of someone who is using the mind at the very moment. It's a snapshot of it.
那就像我们在禅修的时候，我们会用什么散乱昏沉，然后用一心，对不对？哈，那散乱昏沉就是不只是名称而已，它是有对应到你在用功的时候的某一种状态，对不对？但是一心可能就什么，有些人就是禅坐了这个几十年，体验不到什么一心，倒是专心啊、清安可能会体验到，但是这些名称都是什么，都不是什么，不是像那一个我们什么龟毛兔脚。
是龟毛兔脚还是
不是龟毛兔脚？就是我们那个语言呢、啊，它就有对应的，就是有对应的。比如你散乱不是一个什么，一个你对应不到的一个内心状态，它都有对应到的。
These language, the use of words, all correspond to certain state of the mind. Just like when we are meditating, we often use scattered mind or drowsiness or one-mindedness, single-mindedness. These all correspond to certain states that we are in. There is a condition, a state that corresponds to the particular terminology. The state of one single-mindedness or unified mind, it may be difficult for people to experience, but I'm sure you have all experienced scattered mind and drowsiness. But instead of a single-mindedness or one-mindedness, people may experience a focused mind or the state of light ease. So these are all examples of different states you may encounter during meditation, and these are the corresponding terminology.
我们玩一个游戏啊，动物啊跟植物啊，你要形容动物跟植物，你们用什么名称
？Let's play a game. If you try to describe animal versus plants, what word would you use?
没有这两个啦，这两个你要同有一个名称。代表描述这两样东西的时候，你要用什么名称？
If you have to use one phrase to describe both simultaneously, what do you use? Animal and plant.
生物不是啊，你不要那么快了。我们一般人不会什么有相无相的，没跑那么快了。没事啊，你一般我们在描述动物跟植物的时候，它有一个名称啊，一般叫什么名称？生物啦。
Usually people say organisms. Living organisms.
好。再来哦，生物跟矿物是什么名称
？How about living organism and minerals? Then which word would you use to describe them? One word or one phrase?
西方就没有这个名称了，西方没有这个名称了，西方他们不探讨这个，所以他们没有这个名称。
I don't think there is a word in Western languages to describe living organism and minerals.
啊？没有，不是没有的。好，那就是好现象跟心法，现象跟心，好，你就混他们都可以。现象跟心这两个要去用个名称代表它，那是什么名称
？So Harry said phenomenon for living organism and minerals.Okay, now, phenomenon and the mind. What word can you use?
什么?
Phenomenon and mind. How do you describe them?
这两个合起来。他们英文就没有这个名称的。印度叫做 Dharma。
It doesn't exist in English anymore, but in Sanskrit, Dharma is the word between...
有没有? 就是法，有吗?
Dharma for phenomenon and the mind.
所以，就西方来讲哦，西方是偏重于物质的，所以物质的名称非常多。
In the Western culture, there seems to be an emphasis on materialistic phenomena. So there are a lot of phrases and words to describe the materialistic world.
你们知道吗？我们去买那个起子哈，就是那一个那螺丝起子啊，它几百种。
I went to a hardware store to buy a screwdriver or a type of screwdriver. And do you know there are actually hundreds of them? Hundreds of different sorts of screwdrivers.
在中国大陆可能就是用圆锹就可以把高速公路盖起来，但是美国不是，什么这一个什么 power shovel 那个一大堆工具。
And in China, perhaps they only need one tool to build a highway. But here, there are myriads of different tools for different functions.
所以我自己在江楼，我就发觉，就是西方它注重于就是什么物质的，它是一直朝物质方面开展的。那内心这一部分很陌生，然后他们的用词很少。
So in the Western culture, there seems to be this tendency to keep exploring new territories for the materialistic world. So they are very skillful with that, and there are many different types. Yet with the exploration inwardly of the mind, it seems to be quite lacking.
所以包括也有一些人他们在翻译，就是佛经哈，或是禅修的名称，把它换成英文的时候，他们就发觉，哇，通通没有，最好是什么？至少创造那个新的字。
So similarly, when people are doing some translations of Buddhist texts, sometimes there's a problem of not finding the right words or not able to find a word to capture the meaning. So as a result, they need to coin a new term.
像我们说无助。英文你讲出来的话，英文大家就是什么，大家希望人大家听不懂。
So for instance, the one phrase that we often use is non-abiding or non-dwelling in Chinese. But when you put it in English words, what exactly does it mean?
没有了，对不对？好，那总而言之，现在就是这些开悟的人，他们到最后要把你这一个心性跟现象之间的关系，它弄出一个字来。
So there isn't one word to capture this phenomenon of non-abiding. So similarly, what these patriarchs are trying to do is they're trying to help us capture what is it that's between phenomenon and the mind and try to highlight it for us.
所以现在讲说，这个第一个法，你这个心性跟你心性感知的现象，这两个合起来要用一个字，是什么字？就是这个法。
So, bringing back to the text, so what is it that's between phenomena and the mind, the way they interact and contacting each other? So the word we use is dharma to capture it.
那你说好，我们这个法，它本质啊，本法哈、是。一个东西都没有，无法，无法，那个法代表什么？可能又代表现象界。
So the essence of this dharma, what is it? There isn't one particular thing, and there isn't one thing amidst a phenomenon that is this one dharma.
接着他讲说什么？这里面什么？一样，任何一个东西都没有的法，也算是法。哦，一法也无嘛，有没有？那它也是法。
When it's absolutely nothing, there isn't anything, that is also dharma.
所以有时候你去跟禅师讲，他会讲说，我这里无有一法可以给别人，或是无有没有一个实法可以别人，有没有？他是用法，那大家就搞不懂了，因为这不是大家习惯的那个什么。用词或是经验。
So oftentimes when people seek clarifications from patriarchs, one common phrase is, "There's not a dharma that I can give," or "There isn't any true dharma, true phenomena I can give to people." And people tend to become very baffled by these phrases because it does not correspond with our daily experience.
所以但是现在是用语言嘛，语言一定要讲嘛。另外一种就是什么直接什么就是心对心，然后说嗯就这样对了，那你就我们这个现在这个人就什么就没有混了。
Yeah, we do have to rely on language to try to get at this thing, this dharma. Or another way to go is to using the mind to confirm the mind, to correspond, reflect the mind. And so in those cases where people will just do a gesture and then, oh, you understand each other perfectly. But we are not there yet, so we have to rely on language.
所以对开悟的人来讲，他们讲无华法的时候，他们是知道那个是什么样的一个状态。那对我们来讲是一个名称。
So for people who are enlightened, when they talk about the phrase the dharma of no dharma, they actually know what kind of state that is. But for us who are not enlightened, to us it's merely a terminology.
但是至少我们可以用语言来表达，是不是你那一颗心无形无相的心，这是不是任何时间都存在的？
So, but at least we can try really hard to use language to capture it, to circumscribe it. So the mind, which is formless, and isn't it formless at all times? Exists at all times?
那这颗心，那就是你去比因种种的现象的时候，我们叫做什么？就是有时候叫做心跟法，就说这个法又跟那个刚才那个法又不太一样了啊。就说你的心哈，我就用比较精准的名称哈，就是我这颗心无形无相的心，那既有感知的功能的这颗心，我们不要就把它叫做心。那你去禀去感知种种的现象，我们叫做禀禀所有的现象的时候，那这样这个你的心跟法在禀的过程当中，那你的操作模式跟这一些什么人的操作模式一样，那把这个叫做什么这样的心。心跟法啊，心明法的那种，你操作的模式跟佛一样，我们把它叫做什么？叫做法。
So, our mind, our formless mind, has the ability to illuminate all phenomenons, and this process of illuminating all phenomena, we call it dharma. And this dharma, our dharma.Is identical to that of all the enlightened beings of Buddha. This very fact that it's identical, we also call it dharma or the teaching.
那在这种心哈、啊、心法或心根法的那种运作模式，就是一就我就是我的。心法的运作模式跟你的运作模式一样，那我们叫做什么？就是传法或是印心。所以它有时候有时候叫传法，有时候叫什么印心。
When the way our mind illuminate phenomenon, the way is identical to an enlightened person's way of their mind illuminating phenomenon.When the methods or the way it's being done are identical, that's called enlightenment. It's called seeking confirmation of experience of enlightenment.
所以这里面像你我们就会搞混了，有没有？一下又是心，一下又什么？又是法，一下心跟法两个加起来又是什么？又是法，或是又是心？
Isn't it getting kind of confusing by this point where there's the mind, there's a phenomenon, and the way the mind illuminating phenomenon is called dharma. So as oftentimes phenomenon is also called dharmas with a lowercase d, not capital D. So oftentimes the word dharma is being used for quite a few different things, different, sometimes it captures a phenomenon or sometimes it captures a function.
因为在我们的经验，我们在我们每个人的经验就是有一个能知能觉的心，另外一个是被你感知的现象，这是我们的经验，这是我们的经验。
Our experience tells us that there is a mind that has ability to illuminate, to be aware, to attend to, and there are phenomenon that's the object of our illuminating or our attention. That's our daily experience, isn't it?
那开悟的人，他在现场的时候，他是不是也有心，也有这些种种现象，有没有？
For enlightened person,in any given place and time, there's also this mind as well as the phenomenon that's being illuminated by the mind.
那他为什么不传给你？
Well, if that's the case, how come the enlightened person doesn't confirm your understanding? What's the difference between our understanding and that understanding of someone who's enlightened?
大概可能你们听久了，我再重复一些，你们大概就可以懂了。你们在听法的时候，有能听的人跟所听的法，还是法跟你的心是同一个东西？
So for those of you who have been attending to my talks, you're probably quite familiar with this argument. So, but let me repeat it again. So when you are sitting here listening to the Dharma talk right now, there's you and a person that's doing the listening of the Dharma.So is there a subject of listening and an object of the Dharma, that, the teaching that's being heard? Or is the subject and object one and the same?
所以像这一个，你就发觉就有点不同了，对不对？我们的经验是我在听，你在什么，你在讲，对不对？好，再另外一个，这边有几个人？
So based on our experience, there should be, we feel that there is a person that's doing the hearing and there are things that's being heard. That's our experience. So from that point, from that basis, it's already different from someone's experience, some enlightened person's experience. So let's use a similar, a different example. How many people are there right now? How many people are sitting here?
你们可能会讲一个人而已。
Some of you may try to say, there's only one person.
因为听过了，那没有听过人就是，哎，大概四十多位吧。
So for those who are not familiar with my argument, you may look around and feel, there are around 40 people in the audience, isn't there?
如果人家是看到一个人，你看到40个人，那这样就什么？就不一样了，对不对？
But if someone says there's one person versus someone saying there are 40 people, that experience is already different.
还有很多啦，我这里讲说你早上从哪里过来？
Yet another example. Where did you come from this morning? It's one of my favorite questions.
啊？你看你现在嘴巴就讲没有过来啊。
For those of you who are familiar, we might say, there isn't anyone coming, or there's no such thing as coming or going.
如果我再问，那没有人过来，那谁在讲这些话？
But then I can probe you further and say, if you say no one is coming or no one's here, then who is doing the talking right now?
对，你现在多讲几句疑话，就什么，就露出马腿来了。
If I keep interrogating you further and keep asking you, then you will actually reveal your own lack of understanding.
因为你那是背来的。
What you're doing is merely reciting what you have memorized from previous talks and what you read.
那人家是那一种是经验的，所以他发觉你是背来的话，他会再用另外一种方式。结果你假设你没有那种经验的话，哇。这个
So when people actually try to answer, those enlightened people, they answer based on their real experience. So going back and forth with these kind of questioning, if the master realized that you're merely just reciting what you memorize, they would try to get to you at different angles. So your answers are not based on real experience.
我记得有一次师父，在禅期的当中，大家就是可能打了五天或是六天了，心非常安定。那以前师父会考试哈，师父讲，这是什么？就你在心非常安定的时候，基本上，你可能你是呼不出手这个名称出来的哈。
呼不出。
那我们一般人，你像一下子讲这样是手啊，对不对？你如果你当 baby 的时候，你其实你不会讲手，对不对？你这是后面一个，那就记得就是有一个，有一些人他在不同的心境，他有时候会乱讲，因为他呼不出手这一个什么。这个名相来，他可能会呼出冬瓜啊，就讲冬瓜哈。那我记得有一次有一个人，他看到师父这样子，他心是乱乱的，他心没有，他是呼出一个锁出来了。但是他说，如果我讲锁的话，一定是什么？一定表示我不用功嘛。所以他想说，要讲什么啊？结果他想着说，如果我乱讲的话，师父应该他知道我在欺骗他，所以就在那边挣扎要不要讲手这样子。他说赶快讲啊，什么啊？就想想说啊，还是老实一点，然后手啊，所以说知道为什么不讲。
So there are similar examples from the past. From one of the previous retreats. Usually during the retreats, by day 5 and day 6, people's mind have become quite settled. And then Shifu will go around quizzing people, testing your knowledge, testing your understanding. So one thing that he used to do is to raise his hand and ask people, what is this? If your mind is truly settled, or if you're in the deep state of concentration, sometimes the word hand or palm does not come up, it won't come up, you can't find it. So in that case, some people would just not able to answer, or some people would, when they see hand, they may actually, the word watermelon may come up, and they would answer saying, that's a watermelon. So I remember once there was this retreatant who attended the retreat, and by the time the Shifu put up this test, he wasn't in a very settled state. His mind was actually quite scattered still. So he was wondering to himself, what should I say? I know I shouldn't be saying it's a hand, but that's what I see. But I know he's looking for different answers, so I really should find something else. So he was having this really fierce internal debate with himself. What should I say? What is the right answer? And Shifu on the side then say, hurry up and answer. And this person then further thought to himself, if I try to come up with something else, he would know that I'm lying. I really scattered myself. So, okay, I'll say hand. So he said, it's a hand. And she would say, if you had known it, why didn't you say it earlier? Why didn't you answer faster? So that's one classic example of what I'm trying to describe here.
另外还有一个就更好玩了，这个其实是你。其实你内心呼不出所这个字，也表示你很用功，你很在很定的状态，不是悟，真正的悟也不是这样子啊。但是有些人就看过公案啊，所以有一次师父也是这样子比起来啊。我那一个人哈，因为他看过公案嘛，他就上前一步准备抢师父的那个香板要打师父啊。师父知道啊，知道他根本就是背来的啊。他说：“你没有开悟，你不能打。”哇，糟糕了！那个因为公案里面没有写这一个啊，他就愣住了。
So there's another even funnier example. So actually, when you are in a very subtle state and seeing the hand and not able to come up with the word hand, It actually shows that you have worked really hard. You've exerted a lot of effort, and you are in a very settled state. But it's still different than the state of enlightenment. They're not the same. Enlightenment is something different. So in any case, so this other example, it has to do with another person who has read recordings or case studies of these kind of chan stories. So when Shifu asked again, what is this? That person actually took hold of Shifu's incense board and tried to smack Shifu with it. And Shifu at the spa said, wait, you can't do it because you haven't become enlightened yet, so you cannot hit me. And the person, because he merely copied what was said in the story, and the story did not cover this far, so this person actually became quite dumbfounded and didn't know how to respond.
好，这叫比较容易懂了，不会打瞌睡。我们就直接跳到这一个释迦牟尼，我们直接跳到最后22组的这一个，可能我们比较能够用的啊。就是心随万境转，转处是能忧，随流或是随缘哈，任得性，无喜复无忧。
So those are just some examples to help you kind of understand the state of enlightenment and hopefully to wake you from the state of drowsiness. But we're actually going to jump ahead and move on to what the 22nd patriarch said. And the 22nd patriarch is Manarita. And what his verses can actually be directly applied to practice, to executing the understanding. So this is what he said. The mind follows and is turned by all 10,000 phenomena. While it turns, it can also remain unmoving. Following the stream or following conditions and recognize your own nature, by then there is neither joy nor sorrow.
通常我们讲就是什么心不随境转嘛，可是这边是心随境转，但是它是开悟的哦。
Usually, the common phrase we use is that our mind should not be chasing after, should not follow phenomenon. That's what we often use in Buddhism. But over here, this patriarch who has indeed become enlightened actually said the mind follows the phenomenon.
我们一般讲说心被境转了，就是说你看到境以后，然后起了一些分别心啊、贪心、嗔心啊、对立心啊，可是在这边不是。
What we usually said is when the mind follows phenomena means once we have grasped onto a phenomenon, then we follow the phenomenon and we start to make differentiations and we start give rise to thoughts of greed or anger. That's what we're talking about. But here, that's not what he's trying to describe.
也就是说当你的心贪心嗔心就能守的对立心全部没有以后，然后你又什么又跳入什么滚滚的红尘，然后跟着境转，就是随顺因缘，但是什么你那个里面那种最主要的能所对的心已经断掉了。
What he's trying to capture here is that once the mind has realized the state of a non-dualistic mind,eliminates the way we operate with subject and object. Once you have reached that state, then returning back to worldly phenomenon, and you can actually, the mind can be in accordance to conditions, causes and conditions.
那假设你是那种已经我们说烦恼心分别心已经断了以后，那你在境界当中你跟着转，那就是我们叫做什么不会跟世间脱节，而且又是什么可以随顺众生的什么 众生的一个因缘，就随缘啊。但是你在随缘当中，你本身是什么，并没有染着的。
So if we cut off this dualistic mind or reverse that and cut off thoughts of greed and anger, etc., you will actually be able to operate in the world and following different conditions, and you will be able to be in accordance with the conditions of sentient beings, yet at the same time, you yourself is not defiled by all these causes and conditions.
也就是说你的心随着境转来转去的时候，你的心是处在一种什么不动的状态，不是安定，不动的状态。
So while your mind is able to illuminate all these phenomena, the mind itself remains unmoving.
也就是说像我们镜子里面，就是什么人走过来走过去啊，鸟飞过来飞过去，风飞过来飞过去，镜子是什么，那不动的。
So it's like the analogy, the mind is the mirror, and there will be people, animals flying across, and the mirror reflects everything, but the mirror itself remains unmoving.
那我们是在这些轰轰疑疑啊，那这个什么生龙万象以后，就有只看到什么，看到相。那在这个流，就是你在流转这些现象当中，要认知到什么？你那一颗不动的心。
What ordinary people like us is that amidst of all these phenomena, all we see and follow and grasp are the phenomena. But what we really need to do is that amidst the stream of phenomena, we need to try to see our true nature, recognize it.
那如果你能够在任何现象界里面都看到它本身就是我的心性，那没有喜没有忧，如果它有喜有忧，只是什么配合演出啊。
So if you are able to amidst of all these phenomena and see your true nature and see that the phenomenon and the mind are one and the same, then no matter what kind of state or no matter what kind of conditions you encounter, you will be experiencing devoid of joy and sorrows.
就像大家听过的那个故事，有没有？人家送葡萄来啊，是不是说好吃啊？第二天就送一箱来，对不对？是不是说你为什么送一箱？是不是不讲说好吃吗？是不是说我又没有讲我喜欢吃？
You're probably really familiar with this story of Shi Fu where someone gave him a bunch of grapes and he said, oh, delicious. Hearing that, the person who gave him the grapes next day gave him a whole case of grapes. And Shi Fu said, why did you bring me this whole case of grapes? What do I do with it? That person said, didn't you say it's delicious? Shi Fu said, yeah, I said it's delicious, but I didn't say I want more.
所以那时候我们只是讲到这边了，那我们是不知道师父的境界到哪里去了，师父当然他也不会讲哦。请问是师父看到那一个葡萄呢，还是葡萄就是师父？
So that's as far as 师父 had gone with the story. So, but we don't actually know about 师父's attainment. He doesn't tell us about such things either. But let me ask you, what do you think? Is that 师父 seeing the grapes, or 师父
就是葡萄？
对的，
师父
就是葡萄啊。
Or is 师父 and the grapes one and the same?
这个都现在这个都不是理论的哦，就是可以体验的哦。
These are not mere theories. These are all things that we can experience firsthand.
只是你可能连懂都不容易懂啊，就不用讲了。
The difficulty lays in, it's.Even difficult for us to understand it intellectually, and it's even more difficult to actually put it in practice and to actually experience that kind of state.
So, if the 开悟的人他看到这个东西，哇，真的好好吃哦，他可能那个，哇，那个好好那个好兴奋的，可能跟你的兴奋不一样。
So for someone who has become enlightened, once tasting those grapes, they may be really exuberant and say, ooh, so delicious. But the way they say it, the way they experience this excitement may actually be very different than the kind of excitement that you experience.
他或许他是一种表演，或者他那个哦，他要练的，他可能你很容易就这样好兴奋了、哦，他可能要练很久才能够弄出很兴奋的。但是跟你不一样的，他可以瞬间就是哇，就恢复到那种安宁的。你是没办法，你兴奋等于要怎么要经过五分钟以后才什么才平静啊。
So this enlightened person, you know, being really excited by the grapes may indeed be putting on some sort of performance for some purpose.And to reach that kind of excitement state, he or she may need to practice to put on the show. But on the other hand, they will be able to return to the state of tranquility instantaneously. Whereas for us, if we're excited by the grapes, it may take us a while to calm down, and through practice to return to a calmer, more tranquil mind. So that's the difference between us and enlightened people.
所以这个讲了半天就是心跟境都是大家的经验，只是什么就是看待心境的那一个，不能讲到心态啦，就是什么不是心态，我们一般心态是什么喜欢讨厌这样的，不是，他那个是什么我们叫做知见、啊、就是站在最高顶点的一种，那怎么讲知见呢、啊，之间跟你不一样。
So we have said so much already, but the bottom line, it's what I'm trying to say, it's ultimately about the mind and phenomenon and the way we understand, the way we see mind and phenomenon, and enlightened people are approaching it from the highest vantage point of understanding the operation of the mind and phenomenon.Which is different than ours.
我们大部分是心跟境是什么？是两样东西，对不对？那他们是心跟境，它不是一样，也不是什么两样。讲一样也是错的，它不是一样，也不是两样。
So for us, our experience is the mind and the phenomenon are two separate entities, two things, two separate things. For enlightened people, the mind and phenomenon are not one and not two. So it would be wrong to say they are one and the same, the mind and phenomenon. At the same time, they are not two things either. So their understanding is not one, not two.
我们环路是两样。然后你禅修就是什么统一的时候变成一样，对不对？可是无心开悟的话是不是两样也不是一样。
So the way we operate on a daily basis is it's two things, the mind and phenomenon and the mind grasp onto phenomenon. For once you are meditating and you practice very vigorously and reach a unified state, in that stateThe mind and phenomena become one thing. But that is still not the state of enlightenment. For someone who's enlightened in the state of no mindedness, mind and phenomena are not one and not two.
那我们一般叫如果禅修的话会讲说你的身什么就是你的心合一，但是你的心的本质他本来你就不用修，他本来就跟什么跟外境本来就什么就合一，但是禅定的合一跟我们的心本质就跟外境合一的不同在哪里呢？禅定的人通常一般人的禅定是抓住在同一个对象，他是有所停留的什么的一合一，然后这一个开悟的人就是心的本质本来就跟这些现象是合一的，但是他 不住在那个合一的状态，所以它就可以产生千变万化的功能。像如果我们禅定的时候，你就发现它死死的坐在那边，可能可以坐很久。他那个心是什么？有所住的。那这一个开悟的是无所住的。
So, when in the state of samadhi, meditative samadhi, we talk about the unification of the mind and the body. Whereas the mind, the essence of mind, has actually already constantly in the state of unification. The kind of unification of body and mind that we talk about in chan, meditation samadhi, is qualitatively different than the unification we talk about of the essence of the mind. When you are in meditative samadhi, your mind is still grasping onto the phenomenon of unification. It dwells on that phenomenon of unification. Whereas the kind of unification we talk about as the essence of the mind, it's already unified with all phenomena that it encounters, yet it does not dwell, does not abide, does not grasp onto any one particular phenomenon. So if we look at the manifestation of the difference of the two, for meditative samadhi, usually it's static. You're sort of stuck there, you sit there, you can sit for a very, very long time, not being disturbed by anything, but it lacks function, it doesn't move. Whereas for an enlightened person, once they understand the essence of the mind is already in the state of unification, their mind doesn't dwell on anything and it can manifest all sorts of phenomenons, and it's non-abiding, non-grasping, non-dwelling in any one particular phenomenon.
好，我们再十分钟再讲一点点六祖的哈。
We have 10 more minutes and we'll move on to what the sixth patriarch has said.
六祖的就就没有像那些祖师讲的啊，讲的就是啊，很难理解，他就是其实还蛮容易理解的啊。
So Master Huineng's verses are on the surface, it's easier to understand. It's different than the past patriarchs, which is kind of unfathomable. His is actually understandable by us.
这是在最后面的哈。那这一个因为比较容易懂哈，所以就是什么，就是叫做平价版呐。
His verses are easier to comprehend, and so we call it. Not the discounted version, but
就大家都可以买的，就是那个就是。
It's a non-luxury brand, so it's not unattainable. It's more like Gap and Old Navy's.
所以就是你，如果你在看六祖坛经，一般人看六祖坛经哦，他看得下去；但是如果你看禅宗语录哦，看到最后真的看不下去。
So usually it's easier for people to enter the sixth platform sutra as opposed to reading these earlier verses. Those are harder to enter.
那我刚好是两者中间啊，平价版也不行，高档也不行，但是还是可以讲一讲啊。
I'm actually kind of stuck between the two versions. The everyday price one doesn't work for me either, nor does the luxury brand. But at least I can try to understand them a little bit and try to talk about them a bit.
好，我们剩下几分钟哦。真如自性是真佛，邪见三毒是魔王，邪迷之时魔在色，正见之时佛在堂。
So we'll get into the verse. True suchness and the true self-nature is the true Buddha. When you have deviant understandings, the three poisons is the demon king. When you are confused and deluded, the demon king is within. And while you transform it into right understanding, then the Buddha resides.
好，那我们现在这一颗真就是什么无形无相，既有见闻知的真心，就是真佛。
So this mind of ours that's formless, doesn't exhibit any particular form, yet it has the ability to illuminate and to be aware. This is the true Buddha.
那你产生能所，然后有外境不合你的意，产生嗔，外境合你的意，产生贪，那叫三毒。你有这样子，有能所，那有外境合你的意，外境不合你的意的时候，这时候你是魔王。
And deviant thoughts, the second phrase, deviant thoughts is referring to this dualistic mind, dualistic understanding, having subject and object. And once you have this dualistic mind, then whatever, when conditions go according to your liking, then greed arises. You want to hang on to it. If conditions go against to your likings, then you repel it, there's anger. So once you have those three poisons, then you become the demon king yourself.
那我一般修行人很怕什么天魔或是什么鬼魔来啊，其实这个什么在你家的魔哦你就不怕了。
A lot of times when people practice or meditate, they're really afraid of those heavenly demons or ghostly demons. Whereas you're not even afraid of your own demon, the demon that you have within.
所以当你迷的时候，你认为就是什么有我有外境的时候，这时候魔在色。那当你发觉这样是错误的，当第一个当然是你先知道了，接下来你操作，这时候什么那个魔就变成佛。
So when you carry, when you uphold these deviant views, then it says the demon is within in the house.But once you reach correct understanding, first intellectually and then experientially, then the Buddha presides within.
所以这里讲说什么？他们叫佛魔一如，就是佛跟魔是没有差别，只是什么？就是你运作的方法，我们勉强给他一个标签叫做什么？叫做魔。
That's why people often say the Buddha and the demon are one and the same. There's really no difference between the two except the way we operate, the kind of functions we use with our mind. When you have dualistic function of the mind, then you become the demon.
我们只怕有相的魔，那不怕操作错误的魔。
As ordinary people, we oftentimes are only afraid of those demons that has a form, takes on the form, but we are not very cautious, we're not really aware of the formless demon.
接下来，信中邪见啊，三毒生，即是魔王来注射，正见之除三毒心，魔变成佛，真如假。
So when you have deviant thoughts, the three poisons or the arises, so it's the same as having the demon coming to live in your home. When you, on the other hand, when you are transformed and carry the proper or the right understanding, then naturally the three poisons will be eliminated and the demon becomes the Buddha.
信中就是我们的心性，我们的能知能觉啊。无形无相那个心性当中，你产生能所，那产生外境合你的意，不你的合你的意，就像就是邪见哦。那这时候三毒就产生了，那就是你就什么，你就是选择什么，选择跟魔什么以魔共舞，有没有通啊？啊，我们是以魔共舞，我们不知道，我们已经就是舞了啊。舞到现在还继续在舞，那都不晓得了。
So, within this true nature that is formless, and non-dualistic, but yet if we use this nature to give rise to the deviant, dualistic thought, then the three poisons of greed, anger, and ignorance arises. And there's a phrase that Fa Shi used is to dance with a demon, or like dancing with a star. You're dancing with a demon, and previously we're not even aware of it, and now the verse is trying to point it out to us.
所以即使你是什么，你念佛，哦，然后就是不敢什么，不敢打妄念，都是什么，都是魔。 你嘴巴是佛，但是你用有能所的是什么？是三毒。
So even when you are reciting the Buddha's name, and you think to yourself, "Oh, I shouldn't give rise to wandering thoughts or any other impure thoughts," that in itself is actually demon already. As long as you're operating with a dualistic mind, and all those thoughts are the so-called demon.
那如果说你这一个什么能所没有了，然后心跟外境这一个没有了，没有什么贪跟嗔，这时候你做什么都是什么，都是清净的。你讲脏话也是什么，也是清净的。
On the other hand, if you reverse that and operate with a non-dualistic mind, and when your mind interact with external phenomena, there's no greed and anger, then in that kind of state, no matter what you do, even if you are saying harsh words or derogatory words, those are all still on the right path.
所以禅宗有一些什么，有祖师就什么，就烧火，你知道吗？到丹霞烧火啊，对不对？那很多人就跟他学啊，人家是没有能所的，你是有能所的，你是我有烧火，人家是什么？这火那个火像跟我的心是没有差别的，所以对那一些还执着啊，执着有火有魔的时候，禅师最后要下这个猛药，可对我们的初学者来讲，就是什么？本来人家是那个什么，是醍醐是吧？结果你看了以后变成什么砒霜啊？
So there are cases in there's chant stories where a master would burn down the Buddha statue. And so some people reading those kind of stories want to copy that, and they are also burning down statues, and that's actually erroneous. So for someone who's enlightened, there's no difference between the mind, between the self and the Buddha statue. The self is the same as the Buddha's mind, as the statue. But for ordinary sentient beings, it's me burning down a Buddha statue, operating with a dualistic mind. It's very, very different. And usually in the stories, those masters use this kind of drastic gestures to awaken people. That is not the way us ordinary people as a beginner should be using. We shouldn't be using that kind of gestures. It would be like looking at what they have said, what they have uttered, what they have done is actually just like ghee, this really pure form of butter. But in the eyes of ordinary people, it becomes poison.So the understanding is the key.
所以在华严经我曾经碰过那个善财童子五十三参、啊、里面有三个比较特别的那些大菩萨、啊、有一个是把你的眼睛挖起来让你开悟的、啊、那有一个是什么把你推下险崖的、啊、让你开悟的，另外还有一个就是什么把你抱起来你就开悟了、啊、我那时候对这个抱起来、啊、我 好有兴趣、啊
When I was reading the Lotus Sutra, there's this Avatamsaka Sutra. There's this 善财童子 Sudana investigating and requesting teachings from 53 great bodhisattvas. And there are some really drastic methods that were used that's rather unusual. One is carving out your eyes and to help people become enlightened, or to push someone off the cliff to help someone become enlightenment. And the third one was holding someone and become enlightened. And at that time, when I read it, I was actually really intrigued by the third method of holding, hugging someone and getting enlightened.
我那时候一直讲说，如果有机会碰到这样的人，那多幸福。
I was thinking to myself, if I ever had the chance to encounter this kind of teaching, how lucky would I be?
就现在才发觉，是不是你要什么？你要你的心境什么？已经 能所爽往又再来报，你有能所的时候报一千次都没有用。
But by now, I understand that you really have to reach the non-dualistic state, and then doing the hugging, it may be effective. But before then, no, even you may be hugging 1,000 times, but it's not going to be effective.
如果你还有能所的话，你他永远不会出现在你面前的。
As long as you still having this dualistic views, then this kind of teacher, the hugging teacher, will never appear before you.
所以说这个你教理要懂，那看自己的层次，那就是反正就是要老实啦，就是就异想天开，偶尔想一想也可以啦，但是那个都是你都是要有什么有那个本钱的啊。
So, it's important to understand the theories and the teachings, the principles. But the key to practice is that you have to be true to yourself, to be honest to yourself. You can daydream a little bit once in a while, but you really have to know where you are and practice accordingly.
所以有些人有时候就是什么，一下子接触禅宗的书啊，那有些觉得说，哇，我就跟祖师的一样啊，其实都是没有的。
So there are some people who may encounter Chan teaching and read a few stories and feel like, wow, I'm exactly the same as those patriarchs, whereas their state is really far, very different from those enlightened people.
他们那些人就是祖师他们的体验，他讲出来的话，基本上他们的什么的佛法的知见。实践那个基础的是很非常稳固了，然后在体验，也就是很什么，也就是可能就是就无量劫来一直修行的，不是说什么哇，这个什么听一个什么天意计划，什么应无所住就升起心就开悟了，不是他之前努力那部分都什么他都没有讲而已。
So those patriarchs, they have actually have built very solid foundations of Buddha's understanding already of all the Buddha Dharma. Their foundation is very firm. And they have been practicing over the past countless eons to finally reach to today's understanding and doing what they do today. So there are cases of the sixth patriarch understanding becoming enlightened by hearing one phrase. We only see that one phrase of enlightenment, but we don't see the eons of practice that's behind it.
所以你要就是要不走歧路的话，你就是说好，我花30年的时间在修行下功夫，在教理下功夫，那不要想说老师弄一个7天就要什么就要开悟的嘛，那个你真的开了什么错误的悟啊？
30年
至少就很不容易了。
So in order to prevent ourselves from getting sidetracked and going on deviant path, we need to focus on a method and say, for instance, I'll give myself 30 years to practice this method and to try to understand the principles and the teachings through and through. Instead of thinking, oh, I will become enlightened in 7 days' time, that's not the way to approach it.
那如果觉得30年还不够的话，30劫也很好。
But if you feel 30 years is not enough, then you can extend it to 30 kalpas, and that will work too.
最后有一句话就是什么，快快走，慢慢到。
Lastly, walk fast, but arrive slowly.
那我曾经可能有一个日本禅师的样子，就有一个学生跟他讲说，这个我跟你学禅要多久？那个老师说，3年。就那个学生讲说，如果我很努力的话，多久？20年。
Finally, there's a story of a Zen master. A student coming to him saying, "If I study under you, how long would it take for me to attain something?" And the master first said, 3 years. And then the student then said, "Well, what if I exert myself and work really, really hard? And how long would it take?" The master mulled over it.And said 20 years. Okay, that's it. 阿弥陀佛.